It's time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. Scott McCauley with you. Glad to be with you today here on our latest edition of the At Your Service podcast. However, before we start, I do need to tell you that if you've not dialed around the rest of the podcast network lately, we got a lot of shows, including a brand new one. In fact, we're recording this podcast on the 17th of August. And on my Ozarks Now program today, we actually played a clip of the debut podcast called Popcorn and Lore, hosted by our very own Stephanie Wright and John Christopher Collins. They are doing a podcast. Now, here's the thing. They're doing a podcast based on different generations. One's a millennial and one is Gen X or Gen Z or whatever they call it. Now, this is all great, except the problem is I don't fit in either generation. I go back one, but yet I did listen. I did learn something, and maybe you can too. It's a lot of fun. They just started it. We've got a couple of episodes posted. You can check that out. Of course, we've got a lot of other great shows, but we don't want you to check it out right now because we don't want you to miss the information we have coming up with our monthly visit with the Stone County Community Health Coalition. And of course, the first person we have to introduce, who I call the coordinator and kind of the executive producer of this program, Monica Miller. Monica, right. How are you doing?
Thank you. All right. I think of myself sometimes as chaos coordinator, but I like your title. So much better.
I think chaos coordinator is actually the definition of those terms I just gave you there.
Good to see you.
It is good to see you. And before we go, we got a lot of information, but we want to introduce our other guest because this lady has not been with us in a while, but Mm-mm. She is the boss lady, and it is so great to see Pam Burnett again. Pam, how have you been?
I've been doing well. It's so good to be back. Thank you, Scott. It's good to see you.
I'm just glad you had time to get over here. Yes, it's been, and you know, you've been very trustworthy, Monica. I will tell you, she's done a very good job.
Has she?
Yes, she has. And because I tell you, because if she hadn't, I'd let you know, but she and I kind of have an agreement that we don't. Right. Talk about it.
Okay, I see.
We both want to keep our jobs, so we don't do that.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. But hey, Melissa is here with us as well. Melissa, how are you doing today?
Yes, I am excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
You bet. Pull that microphone just a little bit closer when we chat with you. Now, how did you end up, because these guys, you know, I know you've been over here before, but these guys have got a lot of experience here. How did you end up with them today? Are you the one taking care of them?
Far from that. No. Oh. I think it's the other way around.
I see.
But I'm excited to be here.
And I'm glad you're here because we weren't sure, Melissa, you're going to be able to make it today. But it's great to have you here. Great to see you again, Pam. And Monica, I guess we'll get started because we do have a lot to get to. Stone County Community Health Coalition. It is the month of August, which means we're about to get back to school, and we have got so much going on. So what's on your plate?
Well, we had a great coalition meeting today. I just want to give a shout out to all the members who really participated very intensely and were so amazing in the priority health teams. We have substance use and misuse as one of our health priorities for the coalition. And that team met. They pulled off a virtual and in-person meeting together in one room with three other groups meeting. So unbelievable. Pam's group did the same thing. Yes. They're the heart health team. I have the suicide prevention team, and we weren't as savvy as some of the other teams doing the two-in-one kind of operation, but still amazing. And then our poverty group that really is taking a look at, one of the focus points will be food security. We have a lot of groups that are food insecure right now. So it was an amazing meeting. So if any of these things resonate to you where you think, you know, I'd really like to get involved in my community. We are still and always taking members. It's free. If you would like to work on one of these teams, we meet at the Southern Stone County Fire Protection District. Sorry, that didn't come out very smoothly today, in Branson West, on the third Thursday of the month from 9 to 10:30.
And I know folks that regularly listen to us are probably aware of this. And of course, we've talked about this often, but you might review these priorities. How did you come about getting these priorities listed?
That's so good. You're always so great and on point on how to look at the backstory and how to really think. So we, for an entire year, spent 2022 doing a community health assessment together with all of our community partners. with Cox, with Mercy, with Burl, not just health agencies either. I mean, we had Stone County OCAC, who serves the vulnerable. We had Stone County Library System. And then we have folks who can't be at the table. A lot of the schools are in session, but they look at our information and provide input. So many people come together to really look at what are our health needs, what is really glaring at us with data as far as, you know, just numbers and what's happening. So our suicide numbers were extremely high, almost double of what when you compare it to the state of Missouri. Our substance use and misuse as far as who is being incarcerated and who's going through drug court and who is being admitted for treatment, whether it's inpatient or out, were off the charts, and really looking at younger people being in that group. So again, another glaring situation that we had to address. And the whole idea is to address this through collective impact. How are we going to collaborate, partner? And that's where the challenge is right now, right? So we're at the table, we have these goals, but we're really looking at objectives that are collective over agencies and people and places. And how are we going to positively impact our community, whether it's positive behavior change or if it's an environmental change? So it's kind of interesting that today, I mean, I didn't even think about environmental impacts, and that we have one of the representatives from our environmental department at the health department, and how what they do impacts every single person, not just the 31,000 people that live in Stone County, but the 31,000 that visit each day. Right. Yeah. And more. Right. If you count Silver Dollar City, I know it's a little higher, but if we just kind of average it out, we have double the population. And I've said it for a long time, but I didn't have any like actual facts. It was just from looking at traffic and everything. But Pam dug deeper. She's a little she wants to pretend like she's not really a data geek, but she and the
she
chamber.
Is.
She kind of is. But the chamber, Sheila Thomas and her whole crew, she has a lot of great staff, and they really took that and proved it. So kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then our little data, not geek or nerd, our data guru over here, she corroborated it. So it's really great.
We'll
through
the data,
their work. Yeah.
Data specialist.
Yes.
She's a data
specialist. I know she's not the Stone County Health Department director. She's the data analyst and specialist. Yes. There we have it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have been doing this so long that I think now I've been through maybe two or three of these assessments that we have discussed.
You
that,
have.
It's been a while.
You have.
And so when you were going through that list, what really amazed me is some things that weren't even on the radar The when we first started doing the show,
right
now are front and center. I think of you know, suicide. I know we're going to talk QPR a little bit later on.
Yeah,
of course, substance abuse. Even though it was there, it really has taken a different tone.
Right,
but just so much of the mental health aspects that that really, even before COVID, kind of started coming to the forefront. But I think COVID really brought that out in the light, bright light, that about how serious this is. But that's why you do that, because you have to be on top of it, right, to address those things.
Absolutely, and we want to be as innovative and responsive to our community as possible. And I think the ultimate goal is who is not doing what gaps need to be filled in order to have a happier, healthier, safer Stone County. I mean, how are we going to reach those hard populations, vulnerable populations, and people that need us, people who maybe don't have the voice? We have to be their voice. And I think that's what we've really strive to do for so long. And so you've heard me just kind of get on my little, what do they call it? The little
soapbox.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm like, sounds like, looks like. Right, that was good,
I
Scott.
Won't say Monica.
I know, yeah,
I won't say Monica's a regular, but we actually have a soapbox with her name on it.
That's
that we
awesome.
Brought it every time. So there, we just dust it off and get it out there. You know, I wanted to mention this. Pam, I want to ask you this, because when we talk about these priorities, I think a lot of times people think that, okay, so we've got these four or five areas we focus in. Okay, so basically that's all we do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. This just prioritizes those areas. That doesn't reduce the significance of what's going on over here. It just means that you really have to make sure your resources are balanced out to kind of take those priorities, but still be able to handle what else you got.
That's true. And that's part of the process is to say, you know, there might be something that needs to be addressed, but if the community isn't ready or there aren't resources to address those, then we kind of put those to the back burner, but we put a hold on those and then go after the initiatives or the priorities or those health issues that we know that we can make an impact on.
So we talk about this, and of course, a lot of this is done through the health department. But Monica, before we kind of move on to our next topic, kind of tie in then with when the coalition meets and kind of comes alongside, where do they kind of work in to help meet these priorities?
Well, they're amazing. So like this morning, the example was, you know, we had new people that, I mean, we constantly have people. We're recruiting. We love to have new people. And people just kind of jumped to number one, either their passion, if they were there as an individual community member, or if they were there as a service agency. I was sitting with somebody from Burl, and I've met many people from Burl. I've met many people from Alliance Counseling. I've met many people from Brook Wellness Center, all of our different counseling groups that work with folks, whether it's a behavioral or mental health situation or challenge. But the person that I had, I mean, she said, I just can't believe this, that, you know, we have to do this together. We can't do this alone. So what she was referring to was the school-based services that Burl does in a lot of our schools. She says, we still need you to come alongside and do all your QPR training. We still need Brook Wellness Center for doing not the prevention side or the intervention side. We need... there aren't enough mental health providers. There aren't enough service providers. So it's a matter of need for us to work together to serve our community. The tricky part is, of course, making, you know, measurable objectives. That gets tricky, but it basically lists activities and inputs that we can all give, whether it's resources or direct services, that we're all working as a team. So for Burl, they're like, hey, you need training and blah, blah, blah. We have that. We'll train you, but you have the capacity to go out and roll this out to 5,000 people in your community. So it's just, that's just one example. I can only go from my team because I wasn't in all of them, but I'm sure stuff like that happened in all four teams.
Well, it you know, it's the old saying, it takes a village, but it almost takes a metropolitan city sometime.
Yes.
With everything that's going on. But again, when you get partners coming up, that's why you told me a long time ago, I asked you, it was one of those softball questions, by the way, I asked where I know the answer, but I got to ask it anyway. And I said, okay. So what's the limit on coalition members? And you said,
you're so cute.
None.
Right. Yeah. There is no limit. None. Right. Yeah. That is great.
I mean, I want to interject something here. Okay. That, you know, to have a healthy, strong public health system, we need all of us working together to make our community healthy. And that's the beauty of the coalition, is that we're all coming together for that one purpose, to make Stone County a healthier place to live.
Yeah. And for those that need more information on the coalition, keep listening, because we got a lot more coming up, but you can go check it out on the website or Facebook. We got the own Facebook page right
yes,
now for
we
the
do.
Coalition.
And we so have all kinds of volunteers who want to update it. So that worked out today too.
That even worked out even better. Yeah. So, but if you have a passion and want to get more information, they're going to talk to you, because it is, this is a problem. These issues and these priorities are not going to go away. They're just going to, they just need to be managed, and they need all the help. So please do that. Now,
thank you.
Monica, I hate to say this with Pam sitting right here, but I could tell Pam was a little excited to be here today, because I know
she really was. She missed you. She always asked.
Well, I missed her.
You.
I missed her too.
Yes.
But I know she's got something to talk about that she is going to be ecstatic about. And
true.
I know this has been a long time in the making. So I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to ask you a question and let you go. Pam, tell us about the new building.
Well, it is so exciting. I drove by on the way over here, and we actually have our sign up now. So,
oh, nice.
I mean, they just installed it this morning. So we have a sign, and they're putting up the trusses for a ceiling. But we are building a new building, and it's a long time in the making. We've had the support of our board of trustees, who said, yes, we need to do this. It's overdue, and really, this is a new chapter in our Stone County Health Department history to start to bring this excellent services to our county, and we're just very, very excited about it.
So folks that haven't heard it, let's tell everyone where the new building is going to be.
Okay. This building is on Highway 13 and Old Wilderness Road, so it's the corner of those two roads. You can see it if you travel down from Springfield into Branson West. It's actually in the Reed Spring city limits, but as you're driving south to go into Branson West, before you get there, it is a building that's going up on that corner. And we started working on this process, it's been quite a few numbers of years back.
I remember we had many conversations about it on the need
many
for this building.
Many conversations. We were lucky enough to get our tax levy to go back up to the 10 cents per $100,000 for assessed value. And so that just allowed us to, because of the Hancock Amendment, we went down a little bit, but we were able to restore that to the 10 cents. And that allowed us enough room to be able to build this building. And it's about a 10,000 square foot building. It will hold the environmental department, our clinical services department, the community health department, and WIC, Women, Infant, Children. So it's in a centralized place of the county where it's easily accessible. So we're just very, very excited about it.
So will it replace a building? Is it going to be added to a building? How's that going to look with your facilities once it's completed?
So right now we have two buildings, one in the Branson West area that we rent. So we're going to move that facility to this, and so we don't have to pay for any rent anymore. And then the Galena office will remain open at limited number of days, but it will remain open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so everyone, though, will be housed in that new facility, and but we'll continue with our outreach. Stone County, as you know, is a long county with two different ends, and we feel, and the Board of Trustees feels very adamant that we will continue to provide services in on either side of the county and continue to go be accessible for all of our residents.
Yeah, when we often say that Stone County is one of the tallest counties in the state. Yeah. And that hasn't to do with the people. It's just that it's up and down.
Yes.
It is. One time I said that if you had a straight line, you could probably drive east to west and not blink your eyes, or else you might miss something.
Right.
But you could probably take a couple of meals with you if you're going north and south, because that does present a lot of challenges, because we also know there's not a lot of straight roads there. So having that centralized location, even though you will maintain the Galena office, that's got to be a big plus.
Oh, it is. We're just so excited to be able to move into this facility and continue to provide the highest quality of care in a welcoming and new, comfortable environment. It's going to be easily accessible from the road. We are partnering with our Stone County Emergency Management. We're going to house the emergency trailer in our garage, and we'll have a new community room that will be used for the
Coalition meetings.
Well, the command center in case of emergency.
Yeah.
Sorry. So we'll be able to have that in one area in that centralized location. We want to partner with as many agencies to provide any services, the community room again, for anybody to use to be able to access it, to have meetings. Sometimes it's hard to find a meeting space in Stone County, and so we are excited to open that up for the community
It seems like it was really important when this happened, and I remember these discussions from way back when, that this be, I mean, it is a Stone County Community Health Department facility, but it really was important to you to make it a community facility, wasn't it?
Absolutely, because, we are about public health, our communities, the health of our communities, and so part of that is that we are accessible and that we are partnering, and anybody is, it just, like we were talking, it just makes all of us working together to make our county the best.
You know, I will never hold you to this because it's so unpredictable these days, but do you have any idea when you think that everything's going to be done?
That is a question. We have a great construction group that are working really hard. I always said in March of 2024, but as quickly as they're moving along, I wouldn't be surprised if we were a little bit ahead of schedule. And that's kind of unusual to say, but, you know, I think that we'll be in there for sure the first of the year.
Mm. So, that's going to be a great milestone, isn't it?
Yeah, just so excited. And I do have to give a shout out to our board of trustees. That's Phyllis Knapp, who is the chair, Julie Green, who is the vice chair, Cy Bortner, Bob Fritz, and Barbara Bodner-Huey. They pushed me to do this. I'm not going to lie. I was dragging my feet a little bit because it's a big undertaking and a lot of decisions need to be made. And when you're doing it for the public, you want to be responsible for what you're doing and financially and across the board, you know, making it making the best decisions that you can. And they pushed me and I'm grateful now because seeing our sign up and seeing the progress come along with walls that you see through still, but you can tell where the meeting room is going to be and the office space is going to be, and just so, so excited. Plus, it's a little bit closer to my home, so there's...
Ah, there you go. And of course, you saved that for last, right?
Yeah. Right. It's further for mine.
I'm going to leave that unsaid. But anyway, be that as it may, it's going to be a great plus to the community. And I know that as we get closer, we'll certainly get more updates on that. Now, one thing I did hear in all of this that we were talking about, that a lot of the departments will be moving over there, including the environmental department. Missy?
Yes.
I think this is a good time to bring you. And I meant to ask her, is it Autry your last name?
Yes, it is.
Autry. Okay. I want to make sure I had that right. So, Monica hit on this a little bit earlier, and when I was reading up on getting ready for this session, I realized that she is absolutely right about the importance of your department because, everyone works with the environment that comes through Stone County, whether they're living there or visiting there, and you might talk a little bit about what does your department entail as far as going into water testing and some of these things?
The health department's environmental department covers many things as far as healthy septic systems, vacation home rentals that service our visiting guests from mm-hmm. the nation, restaurant inspections. We also, like you mentioned, do water testing, and that's water testing for private wells. We also assist in testing in restaurants, and a lot of people, I think, don't realize that we test the swim beaches for our Stone County swim beaches here at Table Rock Lake and as well as James River.
So let's talk a little bit about the swim beaches, because when I read that, that kind of fascinated me. So take me through that step about what, when you do a test like that, what does that entail?
Well, Ozark Environmental Services and the Corps of Engineers are actually the entities that collect the water samples and turn them into us for testing. It takes us 24 hours to test, but we do test for E. coli in the parts per million volume to determine what is considered safe. If any beaches are found to be above level on that E. coli, they immediately retest, and I think they close the beaches until a safety level has been reached. Fortunately, this summer, I think we've had a remarkable results. Many swim beaches not even coming up with results of E. coli, which is great. That just means we've got a healthy lake. I contribute that to a lot of our good weather, a lot of UV sunshine filtering that water helps out a great deal.
You know, and I think the other thing that helps, too, is that I think a lot of people, and we've had people from other organizations on these programs, either on the podcast or on Ozarks Now, we've talked about this, but I think there's a lot of people that come to these lakes that really have a respect for what's there and really want to do the right thing and making sure it stays safe. And that's really important to kind of have that ownership, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it's beautiful to see, and I think people appreciate the cleanliness and the beauty of Table Rock Lake, the community that comes to visit, as well as the community that lives around Table Rock Lake. My consensus is with dealing with our community is that they appreciate what they have and invested in keeping it that way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked about this on all of our shows about how the Ozarks overall, but certainly the Lakes region, when we got a corner on a lot of beautiful areas here. And I think, you know, and as I've told this story before, as I travel around, go to other places, there's a lot of great places, but you come back and you know what, we've got it just as well as anybody, you
yes.
know, so it's,
and
absolutely.
And
I think a lot of our, and we've talked about this with our friends at Taney County as well. They really take this very seriously. And the other thing that Missy, I think is really interesting is that one thing I've learned by doing all these shows over the years that, you know, sometimes people that work in areas like you that involved with testing and going to businesses and stuff like that, you kind of get the clipboard syndrome. You think you're kind of that, what you do is you just go around clipboard and start checking and hand them something, but it's more of a collaborative effort than that, isn't it? You really want to invest time to make sure they're doing it right and encourage them to ask questions if they haven't.
Yes, we do. Yes. And I always encourage people to call environmental department and talk to us and ask their questions. We try to put out a lot of information also available on our social media websites. It is important, and we welcome that curiosity.
So is there like a testing cycle, like for businesses and those type of things that you do regularly, or is it just something that is by request, or how does that work as far?
Both. So a lot of our lodging institutions and our restaurants have to be state tested on a regular basis. They've got to turn in their results. So that is something that has happened on a regular schedule. We also service private wells. You know, residents who are property owners that have a private well on their property, at their will and request, they can come in and pick up a water test kit and bring the water into us for testing. And we test for total coliform and E. coli. Those are two common bacteria found in wells that can be harmful or cause illness in people.
And we recommend that the private wells are done about once a year.
This yeah. is true.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
It's not mandatory, but I just hear you all the time with people calling just like, yeah. And you're like, well, if it's been longer than the year, and sometimes they tell me, say it's been 11
years. It's a
common
question, yeah. You know, how often should we test, and what happens if we do come back positive with this bacteria? What do we do? But we do recommend at least once a year test your well water. Of course, if you do have a problematic well, we will recommend more frequent testing. But so annually is okay.
Yeah, so I would say the same thing, folks, is if you talk to Missy and she goes, okay, when was the last time you had your well check? I'm not sure. Next thing you should hear, okay, your address right. is, you're wearing it, so we'll be right over. Because if you don't remember, it means it's probably time.
Probably time. You know, for health reasons and peace of mind, you'd like to know, you know, these type of bacteria can't be seen or smelled or even tasted, which, you know, surprises most, but it's true. So the only reliable way to detect these harmful bacteria in your well water is by bringing in a test kit for testing.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I just got to thinking that sometimes if a family or something may be having some problems with illnesses and stuff, that might be, you know, first place you check maybe is check the water and see if there's anything there.
That's right. If you are on a private well source, you should definitely consider that it may be a waterborne illness. And just, again, for peace of mind, find out what are you dealing with.
So if they need to reach out to you, how can they get a hold of you for more information?
Oh, gosh, they can always reach me. I work in the Galena office, in the North office, so they can reach me at 417-357-6134. My direct extension is 2105.
All right. Well, it was good to get to see you again and to
Thank
talk
you.
About this. This is such an important deal, and we talked about this, gang, when COVID hit, we kind of forgot that the health department does a lot of things, mm-hmm. and these things didn't stop, but it
That's
just
right.
took a little bit of a different route. But it is important, right. so important to preserve what we have, isn't it?
And just for Missy and Tim and Chris to be doing, I mean, they're running, you know, solid tests, you know, 40 a week just on the swim beaches. That's nothing private. That's not the restaurants. That's not the businesses. I mean, these guys are like mad scientists all summer long, from before Memorial Day to after Labor Day, where, I mean, they really need like their Einstein coats on, because they're down, you know, they have the specialized tools. I don't even want to pretend like I know the name of all these pieces of equipment. I just know about the incubator, and they bake the water. That is what I know. But it's amazing. All three
and
of
now,
them.
Now we know why Monica coordinates the coalition, because try to get in her skill set here, right?
Right. Right. It's yeah, the white jacket.
But it was true. We want the community to be safe, you know, and you know, have their families and their babes in the water enjoying our beautiful lake, and be confident that they're safe.
Yep, and more people are doing that all the time. Those numbers certainly bear that out, so very, very important. You know, we've talked a lot about things here that are the testing on a regular basis. We've talked about some of the priorities that are happening in the area now, and one of the things, Monica, and I'm sure you've probably got a chance to catch a lot of our interviews, Pam, but we have been talking a lot about QPR, about that training. I know we're going to talk a little Narcan as well, but Monica, these are things, the QPR, I keep hearing more and more about it all the time, that organizations are looking at this. The word is getting out about this,
yes,
and really how important it is. And it's certainly on your docket for today as well.
Right. And I was really impressed with how many commercials you guys ran. I know that Tane County Health Department also provides QPR training, and it really helped us, because, you know, we had calls from the commercials that were going out for Tane County Health Department for us to provide that. So thank you for that service. But again, suicide prevention, it's a big deal. And we want to save every life. We want to save children's lives. We want to save adult lives. But question, persuade, and refer is one quick strategy. It takes 1 hour. We've really had quite a bit in the northern part of the county that have been trained. We'd like to see it expand more to the southern part, but we are ready, willing, and able to provide that suicide prevention training to any business, any individual, any group, youth group, religious organization. We're all in for the next 3 years to provide this training. So we're available.
I want to ask you something, because we've seen a lot of the younger people that you've had here on the coalition shows, and just in general, we run into a lot of the GoCaps kids besides on our programs, but in some other capacities.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like the QPR training is really taking off with younger people, and they're really buying into it. What do you think that's, why do you think that is?
So I think it's a safe way. So we all want to help each other. I mean, I truly believe that we're all, you know, humans. Humans want to help other humans when they're hurting. We just don't have the tools. So when we make the analogy, you know, CPR is to save someone if their heart stops or they stop breathing. You know, you basically have a tool, you have a strategy, you have an approach that helps you save a life. We really didn't have that before, or at least I didn't. I'm sure they've been around. But as far as QPR, it's that analogy of saving somebody in a mental crisis. It's triage, right? So you don't have to be, you know, a clinician. You don't have to be a counselor. You don't have to be a therapist. You could be an auntie, a mom, a dad, a, you know, sister, a friend, and the kids like it because they have the specific skill set. And, you know, we're pretty strict. We follow the protocol. So for someone to practice, you know, when I did this with, you know, the health department, Missy and Pam, actually, I don't think they were at the same table, but I forced them to say the words, are you thinking about killing yourself? Or, I mean, they could frame it in the way that they wanted to. So some people said, are you thinking about harming yourself? You know, whatever it is. But to already have that word out and or words out and then to be able to persuade someone to live, to really provide that hope and that love, and then to go to get them for some help. Everybody feels good about that. And if you feel like you save someone from a decision that I'm certain anyone who has felt that way before, in the long term, it, you know, it's a temporary solution that has long, forever implications, actually, to save a friend matters. And I think all of us just really want a way to reach out and touch someone in a helpful, wonderful way that we're, and because that's on so many of the kids' minds, over 40% that they have contemplated suicide, it's not just a few, you know, it's 4 out of 10. So, you know, every group might be affected by that. So if you have 5 friends, you can do the math. 2 out of 5 of them need that help.
What really has amazed me about that is that the self-awareness that has come out of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think people would go, and this is probably true, that I think maybe girls might be a little bit more sensitive than guys. But even the guys that have visited our shows have really shown a great capacity to understand why this is so important. And I'm personally, as an older person, I won't tell you how old, but as an older person, I'm happy to see this.
Me too. That
they really have this awareness going on.
I think our young people that we brought here, we did have 2 or 3 boys, right? And or young men.
Yep.
And they were amazing. But I just remember 5 years ago when we were talking to Ryan Laxon, when the public health class first started, it was a little uncomfortable, even for me, when the kids all came in and they were talking, we don't want stigmas anymore. We want mental health to be first. And I just remember I was kind of squirming, and I don't squirm at all.
Yeah.
Right. But I thought, go get them, kid. I mean, you're the mouths of babes. And you know what? That will light a fire under my butt and create this beautiful snowball effect in a positive
way. How often, Pam, have we talked about the fact, I mean, I think you all know Ted Martin from over here in Branson, and
yes,
he's talked many times about how fire prevention actually now starts at the younger levels and goes up. And I think something similar is happening here, it seems like, Pam.
Yes, I agree. And like she said, I took her class, and she does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I think a lot of people are afraid to ask because they think that you know, they're going to put that idea in someone's head. That's not true. You know, I think that is, we need to be open and have the conversations and feel comfortable with that. And that's what this does, is just give you a little practice and know how to do that.
And along those same lines, we can kind of transition also into the Narcan availability, because we've talked about that many times on the shows as well.
Right. So we're all about saving lives, right? And I know when Pam really, I've only been in the public health business for 10 years, and she has a lot more years behind me. But I just remember her talking when I first started, and she's like, I'm all for, you know, harm reduction. And I thought, what is that? What does that mean? And it is exactly what Narcan is. It is where you are saving a life in order to allow them to have positive change. I mean, it is it's basically preventing them from dying. That is what harm prevention is. So again, QPR, Narcan, they all fall under harm reduction. And then it trickled down. Like, I had to put it in perspective into what my direct services or programming was. And for me, you know, maybe a person who is smoking 3 packs of cigarettes now goes down to 1/2 pack. That's harm reduction. I'm in the group. I'm in the group of harm reduction. Yay. So that to me is a viable and sustainable strategy and approach that we can use in the public health business, but a lot of other ways where we are thinking about how can we reduce harm. And that's what Narcan is. If people don't know, if somebody is having an opioid overdose, Pam reached out to the state, and we have Narcan available for free for individuals, not for businesses and not for, you know, big groups. It's one-on-one. Let's say you wanted some Narcan, we could provide that to you. We do a small training. There's training materials in there. And you could carry that in your car and save a life if you come across someone who might not be breathing, or it's usually breathing.
Yeah.
But basically bring them out. It stops the opioids from being in the receptors of the brain, and right. It brings them out of that. They're not always happy when that happens, but in the end, they're alive, and then they're happy for that part. So the initial part might be a little bit shocking, but overall, it's just a really great, we have plenty of kits available at our South and our North office. And then I'm your girl for QPR. So again, harm reduction, and just trying to really support our community in the best way that we know how.
So harm reduction, Pam, that is really fascinating term, because I was just thinking as she was mentioning that, almost everything we always talk about here can be classified as harm reduction. I mean, we were talking with Missy about environmental and making sure the water is safe. That reduces harm for people that are swimming or drinking water or just anything. I mean, that's kind of a mantra for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. I guess it's the backbone of prevention. You know, you don't want to get to a state where you are going to harm yourself, whether it's intentional or not. And so these steps were all about to do that harm reduction. Yes.
I got, and before we get on to back to school, Missy, I got to ask you, because you said you were a part of that too. What did you take out of it when you saw that? That had to be some eye openers for you too when you were going through that training.
It was. And some were, I'll have to say, it was an emotional experience for me, but I came out of it much more confident and with a game plan of how I can ever approach somebody who I needed to have that hard conversation with. I definitely can, with confidence, without any fear or worry, and know just how important it is and how impactful. And whether the answer is yes or no, you know, you have to do it.
Yeah, you give it a chance, give it an opportunity,
yes,
right,
you
to be
do.
Successful.
You're going to be relieved if you hear the answer no. And if you hear the answer yes, you know where to go from there. You know how to get the resources, the things, the right things to say, the loving guidance that's needed to provide to that person in crisis at that point in time. It was an invaluable lesson learned.
Yeah, and one that continues throughout, you know, the year, throughout the time, trying to make sure to get all the information to everybody. And, you know, with this close connection with schools, we're sitting here on August 17th, and I know next week school is back.
That's crazy.
In session, I know.
That's crazy. Where has the time gone?
I know. And in fact, I mentioned this on Ozarks Now earlier, that if we're doing this, that must mean, are you seeing people maybe for some shots or anything right
yes.
now?
Yes, actually,
that
yes.
That might be happening, yeah?
Yeah, we are available to provide those vaccinations if you need those back-to-school shots that are mandated by the state to enter into school. And we want to make sure that all kids are ready to go and happy and don't have to turn away and not go to school because they're not up to date on their vaccinations. So, yes, we are available for that. I'm sure doctor's offices and other health departments and possibly pharmacies now are giving vaccinations. So it's best just to get on that and don't put it off and get it over with and have your kid be healthy and safe when they enter into school. And we are so proud of our teachers in the county. I don't know how they do it. I know I say to Monica all the time, because she's a past teacher, how do you talk and be on all the time? And these teachers are so important to helping our children grow and learn. And we just, they hold the key to our future. And so they help teach them to grow, to be a productive citizen in our county and wherever. And we just support them. We go to any events that we can to help support our schools. And
you've probably been a little busy lately in that area, haven't you?
Yes, we've been to Reed Spring, Galena?
We did bags because Galena and Crane are having their bashes, and we didn't want to show favoritism, so we brought them goodies. Yeah. So we took care of the teachers. We did take care of all the kids at Reed Spring High School because the Stone County School Readiness Fair was combined with everybody. So was just last Friday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've done some stuff.
Yeah, that was put on by Unite Table Rock Lake, and they do an amazing job to be able to make sure that the kids have their supplies. And we have an amazing community and county, Scott. I just am so thankful to be able to live in such a beautiful place with great people. So,
yep, and a lot of great opportunities there. Recreation, of course, I favor the restaurant opportunities, as anyone can see. But those opportunities are there to enjoy themselves. And here, you know, Monica, we just sat here.
We pulled it off.
We're now
we're actually in
minute 46 of this podcast, and we've just been flying along.
We
do
have.
You realize how quickly we could have done? If it says what's not going on, we could have been done here in 30 seconds.
Right.
But we didn't want to do that because A, this is all important information, and B, we couldn't chat.
And we couldn't honestly, Scott, do it without you. I know that you're always working, but you really are one of our greatest cheerleaders at the health department. You're one of our best partners for the coalition. So I won't cry. I'm almost crying over you today, Scott. Wow. I haven't done that for a while. I guess I'm warming up for when I have
when the students start, CFO kid.
That's next month. So I'm just warming up with you. But seriously, you lead us in such a great direction, give us such a great platform to be able to reach our community, whether it's directly in Stone County or the surrounding counties. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's always great getting information out. And this is such important information to do. And one thing I've learned in doing these through the years is that, you know, something is significant to somebody along the way. And even if you don't think about it now, you may need it somewhere down the line.
Like, you know,
the Narcon was a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You may not even think about it now. You might need it down the line, or might need that advice. So
true.
So go ahead.
I do want to put out two coalition events that might touch on people's heart. So we are going to have in September, two opportunities to be outdoors, really to tie in to what Missy was talking about with the lake and the importance of our lake, and Pam too, and then the chamber proving that. But Ozarks H2O has been putting on for 23 years the lakeshore cleanup. You knew probably what I was going to talk about. And we've had a team for probably 8 or 10 years now. I don't think I did it the first year or two that I worked there, but I thought, oh, we need to be out there. So we did it for the health department a couple years, but now it's a coalition event. We already have 8 people, but we will take anybody on our team. And a lot of times, you know, Galena gets neglected as part of the, because it's not exactly the lake yet, right? It's that point that's right there where the James River starts. But it starts there in my mind. I mean, I know on the map it doesn't, but that Y Bridge is over 100 years old. There's only 3 in the world. We need to get the trash from right there. And then the Cox put inside is right there. So that is our spot. Anybody can call me, Monica Miller at Stone County Health Department, 417-357-6134, and get on our team. We would love, it's an hour of your time. Typically, we all end up with 2 or 3 kind of giant trash bags of trash. Pam's gracious enough to let us fill our dumpster for that week until the trash man comes. But basically, we pull a lot of stuff out of there. Drug court has helped with us many times, but we would love to partner and have a much bigger team. So let me know if you'd like to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's a second one. We have an amazing coalition member, and she's also an employee. She worked in the community for a long, long time. Her name is Phyllis, and she has a team for St. Jude. And St. Jude does do amazing things for children with cancer. So we also have a walk that is a coalition and a health department event, but it's really for the Maggard family to honor Hayden Maggard. So if for some reason you can't walk on September 16th, but you would like to donate, please reach out to us, and we are happy to get you connected with the St. Jude walk that is to help with childhood cancer research and treatment of children who don't have a bill. And so we just want to have that out there as well.
Yeah. You can get that more information. And you were talking about, I always want to still call them Ozarks Water Watch. I know they're Ozarks H2O now, but they have been
I had to think about it. Did you see how I had to like retrieve that from the, I'm like, what was it?
But little halo with the Rolodex. But they, in fact, we had them on Ozarks Now last year prior to that. And then they sent me the number of tragedies. And again, not just Table Rock, but, you know, Taneycomo, they did
the whole thing.
They gave me the whole numbers. It's like, wow. You don't realize how much help it is. Kind of goes to what Missy was saying earlier, I think, about how, you know, but we have an investment in these areas, and that's why a lot of these things happen, because we want them to look good.
Mm-hmm. And just I want to thank the health department for being here today. I know I bring a lot of coalition people, and I don't neglect you guys. I do love what you do. So, Pam, thank you for coming and talking about the shots and our building and all of that. And then Missy, thank you for talking about the water testing septic. And also thank you for going with me. She was the one who went around and we put a million life vests on from sea to right before
all Southern Stone County swim beaches.
Yes, before Memorial Day.
Yeah, I think Sheila Thomas told me about that was going to happen. And you gave out all the life jackets?
Yes.
Wow. Do you remember how many you had?
I think the chamber might have done half for us, because I think Stone County was supposed to get maybe 200, and I think we only ended up with 100. So I think half went to another group, and that's fine, because it's tricky to get them out there. But CETO provided that, and they were beautiful, and they were so smart the way they did it, and that it says loaner right on. I mean, it's printed. We didn't have to write loaner on there, which we've done in the past.
Yes.
Anyway, so thank you, ladies. You guys did a beautiful job. Yeah, I appreciate you.
You know, we have all these coalition members, but yes, the Stone County Health Department is the heart of it, and it kind of centers around. Pam, it was great seeing you again.
It's great to see you as well.
I hope we can get back soon. I know you've got really busy, but it was good seeing you. And Missy, it was good seeing you. And keep up the good work on the water.
Thank you.
I mean, that's very important work, and we're glad to be able to highlight today.
I love my work. Thank you.
You bet. Monica, let's remind folks where we're at. Wrap up, but they want to be involved with the coalition. What do they need to do?
They can call the number that they've heard several times, but I'll repeat it: 417-357-6134. They can go on our Facebook page, which you refer to because you're a good social media guy, and then Missy also referred to our website, and that is Stone County Health Department, all lowercase, .com. And you can see all kinds of stuff there and get any of us.
It's hard to believe, but the next time we convene in September, we'll be starting school. I think you already mentioned we'll have, and I guess we're going to...
CFO. We got two people already. It's happening, Scott. September, October, November, we'll have the CFO nursing students with us already.
Good to see them. Hard to really we're there, isn't it?
Yeah, crazy.
Well, Monica, we will see you then.
Looking forward to it, Scott. Thank you again.
You bet, and we appreciate everyone joining us today for our At Your Service podcast. And now, if you want to dial around the podcast, go ahead and check out some of those other great shows. But don't forget to check back here with our Stone County Community Health Coalition programs. We also have regular programs with the Taney County Health Department. And don't forget our weekly visits with the Missouri Department of Conservation, all part of the At Your Service podcast right here on the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. Have a great day.